miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can call in 877-711-5211 or email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. And now, as always, my favorite segment of the show, which is Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not? Gary is the toxicologist in the Connecticut State Health Department, so he has always great data and great information. So this one is one I really like, Gary. Fertilizer in fertile women leads to birth defects. What's that all about?
Yeah, just a little play on words, but it's true. A study out of Texas and Iowa, 3,300 mothers who had, they looked at what they were, it was in their drinking water, and then they looked at the rates of birth defects, and in particular, spina bifida, neural tube defects in general, and cleft palate were statistically and pretty strongly increased in those women who had more than 5 milligrams per liter. That's a certain amount of contaminant called nitrate in their water.
How common is that level? In other words, we don't ever see that in city water that's taken care of. This has to be well water. Is that right?
It's going to be well water. It's going to be out near farmland. And so Texas, Iowa, that's why the study was done out there. And I've talked on this show before about nitrate and how it could harm little babies because it could basically blow up their red blood cells if they get too much of it. And the standard for nitrate, and this is the key thing about this study, is that this suggests that the current standard is too high that EPA has, that their standard is okay to protect babies' red blood cells. But now this new study is showing that if you're a pregnant woman, that standard might be too high. They were getting at 4 times lower level in their water, they were getting birth defects. And so it's coming from the runoff from farms. So as these farmers put tons and tons and tons of nitrate fertilizer, it doesn't all get taken up by the plants. And it does get down into the groundwater. And any
So we have a question from Pamela here. I don't know where Pamela is. Oh, it's Iowa. Pamela in Iowa, so she must be concerned about this. And she said, does this happen on organic farms as well as on farms that use non-organic fertilizer?
Great question, Pamela. And the short answer is much less likely because they'll probably be using organic-style fertilizers, which there would be less runoff into groundwater, but it still is possible.
But wouldn't it still have nitrates in it, Gary?
It still would. But the organic type of fertilizers that they use tend to hang in the topsoil better, run off to groundwater less, and so groundwater contamination on that massive level that it would take to, for a down-gradient well to be contaminated would be less likely on an organic, near an organic farm. But the reality, Pamela, is that you've got one organic farm, maybe in an area where there's non-organic, and so it's the overall general water quality in the area that your well may be tapping into. And the bottom line here is that if you're anywhere near this kind of farming, or if you're in an area where there's a lot of septic systems and groundwater wells near each other, you definitely want to test your well water once a year at least. And especially if you're pregnant or especially if you've got little kids, you want to test for nitrate. It's a very inexpensive test, and it may really save some health issues.
So Gary, our cell phones, let's go to another subject. Are cell phones too toxic for kids to touch?
Yeah, this was at the University of Cincinnati, and I think this is so overblown. You know, it's one of these what's toxic, what's not stories. I think it's more on the what's not. Now, cell phones and electronics do have flame retardants, and especially the older ones did have higher levels of flame retardants. And that's what this story is really about, is that the University of Cincinnati found an association between levels in mothers' bodies of these nasty flame retardants, the diphenyl ethers, and slower learning, poorer IQ in their offspring. Okay, we all can understand that these are neurotoxic chemicals, shouldn't be in mom's bodies. But a kid touching a cell phone, he'd have to basically, like, mouth it a lot to get much flame retardant into his body. So the exposure pathway is these things come off the electronic equipment or come off the couch cushion, get into house dust, and then you've got exposure to the dust. And so the key is damp mop the floors, really keep your floors clean and vacuumed, and you get less dust exposure.
So if you get overly clean, just like Bridget's three male friends who she lived with, they were obsessed with cleaning the carpets, right?
Oh yeah, they cleaned every day.
Okay, next subject, Gary. This one is on: was the president's climate speech good for my lungs or bad?
Good. Now, what people will look at with the whole climate change and carbon issue is whether or not it's going to hit them in the pocketbook, whether it's going to be good or bad for the economy, whether it's going to be good or bad, of course, for the polar bears, all the ice melting. Those are all relevant issues. But I, as a toxicologist, want to speak up for everybody's lungs and say it's great to put a price tag on carbon, because carbon is, after all, what is in particulate matter, which gets into our lungs, causes all that inflammation, causes all that asthma. And so Obama indirectly, by taxing carbon, whatever the system's going to be on all these big power plants, and by pushing for higher efficiency cars, by making our industries cleaner, is also...
Well, but how much does the United States contribute versus other countries to our lung pollution, that is pollution for our lungs? Doesn't China, by burning all that coal, affect us?
Probably 90% is local and 10% is more global on that score. When it comes to global climate, then what China's putting in is just as important as what anybody else is putting in. But when you're talking about that kid in the inner city who is playing near a bus route or who is living near a power plant, it's the local source that Obama is trying to clean up, and that does need to be cleaned up to protect lungs.
Okay, we've got about 2.5 minutes, so I don't know if you can do this in that period of time. The Vietnam War toxic legacy is still emerging. What do you mean? I was a Vietnam, if you will, participant. I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was in the services. It won't affect me, obviously. It's only things that people who actually went to Vietnam. Is that right?
Yes. Right, because we hear about Agent Orange, and I could get in a minute. I'll say about that. But something I didn't know about all the herbicides, and really, it constitutes a version of chemical warfare. At the time, we didn't realize, or maybe some people didn't realize, just how toxic the defoliants we were spraying all through Vietnam to fight the war. To cut down to make the invisible enemy more visible. But we also had a rainbow of herbicides. There was Agent Orange, which was basically a form of dioxin pesticide, but there were other pesticides that were nitrosamine-based. And, Mike, you probably know enough chemistry to know how genotoxic, mutagenic, and birth-defective nitrosamines are. That was Agent White. That was another defoliant. And then they sprayed something to kill off the rice crop, to starve them out, and that was arsenical-based pesticide. That was Agent Blue. So we had Agent Blue, Agent White, Agent Orange, to the tune of 20 million gallons were rained down on Vietnam of these herbicides, pesticides, mutagens, carcinogens during the Vietnam War. It was a scale of chemical pollution of groundwater, of food crops, of the human ecology, a scale that probably hasn't been seen anywhere else on the planet. And so the birth defects that are coming out of that, the cancer that's coming out of that, has never seriously studied. It's ripe for more analysis. But some of the veterans, and in the mid-1980s, there was an informal study of 200,000 Vietnam vets, who 56,000 of them, 25%, claiming that there was a birth defect after their...
Gary, you're going to want to listen to the next segment, just as we love your segment. Arthur Perry is going to be on talking about how to keep your body and skin looking young, what to do best to keep yourself rejuvenated and young. And I know you're getting old like the rest of us. Stay well on RadioMD.com.